pod, we asked you a question for our Stony Secrets. We wanted to know if there was a kink that you originally thought you weren't into or that you wouldn't like, but then you saw a piece of fan art or you read a fanfic and it changed your mind and you kind of got converted into that kink. And we had some amazing responses from you guys. A couple people submitted anonymously to our Stony Secrets forum directly, but we also spread it around on our social media and we had some replies on Tumblr. And we had a little conversation about it in our Discord server as well, which we will talk about.
So the first was on Tumblr, and it came from Muffin Fury, which is still one of my favorite handles, by the way, because I literally imagine an angry muffin every single time.
Okay, but is it an angry muffin, or is it being mad about muffins? Because I'm totally understanding both.
Both. I think of a angry muffin with knives coming at you for trying to eat it, but I like the anger about muffins as well. It can go either way.
Like I've definitely encountered angry muffins, but I also think that I have a closer relationship with the concept of being angry about muffins. So
okay.
That's where I'm relating to it.
Okay.
You can let us know, muffin. Let us know which one it is.
And I had no idea that this is one of those things where I was like, oh, this is a different way to interpret it. Of course, Farrah and I interpret these things differently because that's how this works.
Anyway, yeah, if you just listen to our segment about how we work together really well, but we're very different. There's an example.
Super different. So Muffin Fury of the questionable definition says, I was super sure I would never read Tentacle anything, and then Saber wrote Title Pull. I saw she'd posted a new work all at once and she's so amazing, so I figured I had to read it. It was so good. I don't know if it's something I'd read a lot of, but this one was spectacular. Several things. One, Saber ever posts anything in a one-shot, you read it, because her like chaptered works will take years off your life waiting. And I say this with all the love of Saber in my heart. But
I happen to know that Title Pull was this, she was expressly experimenting with writing all the chapters first and posting it all at once. So I think that it was a mixed experience for her because it was nice getting it all up. And that's something we should talk about later on the pod, the difference between saving and writing everything all at once and posting, doing chapter by chapter, what kind of stuff gets you motivated.
It's a rich discussion because I certainly have done it a multiple, combination of ways there and I have different feelings about it. But I mean, there's absolutely no joke. Whatever works best for Saber is what works best for Saber. But very famously, her updates on Chaptered Fix take a while.
Mm-hmm.
So a one-shot from Saber, and they're worth it. They are worth it. But a one-shot from Saber you take. Also, the I've never read a tentacle anything and then Saber wrote Title Pull is a very common sentiment in this question.
Yeah.
So I was happy that Muffin articulated it that clearly.
We also had one of our secret answers on Sony Secrets reads, to answer your question from Twitter Tumblr, a kink that I never thought I'd be into, and I'm open to reading a lot of different things, was oviposition / egg laying. Then Hard Boiled by Azuma changed my mind. I think it was a good intro fic to this kink for me because it included so many things I like in my Stony smut. Tony being so caring to Steve needing more, 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 Tony inventing things to get Steve off and make him feel so good. Really, anytime Tony brings science into the bedroom is going to make a happy reader. I highly recommend this one, even if OV isn't your normal thing. That was actually,
check that out.
Yeah, and that wasn't an answer we had a lot of.
No.
And I do think that's one of the slightly less common kinks, like maybe one of the outskirts kinks, we could call them. But there's some really good stuff out there, and that's a good one.
Yeah, it's one that I don't ever seek out, but I would not be opposed to reading. So now that this has been recommended, I'm definitely going to make sure to do that.
I've had my moods. I'll send you some more recs.
Good to know. The last anonymous Stony Secret says, I didn't know that tickling was a kink until 2013. Side note from Flame, I didn't know it was a kink until right now. So good to know.
You learn something new every day.
I was today years old. Back to the response. I had come across it in fic a few times, but only as something that happened leading up to sex. Then in 2013, I read my first tickling fic, Some Things Never Change by Sour Strawberries, and Fell in Love. 7 years later, and Tickle Fix are still my favorite kink to read. They can be so cute and silly, or hot and intense. If you're thinking about reading them, please check out Sour Strawberries. She does a great job writing these and is always willing to talk about tickling and fix. I love it. Sour Strawberries, I have no idea if you're a listener, but I'd love to talk to you about tickling and fix on the pod. So
yeah.
Fascinating. I literally had no idea it was a kink until we got this, and I am fascinated.
I feel like it's one of those ones that has like fad waves to it, because okay. I feel like you see surges of tickling fix and then it dies off for a bit, or okay. certain ships kind of bring it to the forefront. But I think it can also be a part of the like non-sexual intimacy realm as well. Like it can be sort of a kink that doesn't necessarily have to be like genital to genital contact.
Okay.
And it can be like sort of emotionally sexual, if not physically sexual. And I've seen that explored a couple of times.
That makes sense. And that the non-sexual kinks are not things I frequently seek out just personally. So it would make sense to me that that's not an intersection I've traversed yet.
Interestingly, it's also the tickling thing you can find a fair amount of in real like live action porn. In the BDSM world. So tying somebody up and tickling them as like an overstim situation. You know, as like a edging break kind of thing. Like you bring someone to the edge and then you tickle them to like break the moment so they stop getting closer to orgasm. That's something.
Yeah, no, I've seen it in that context, but as you said, I just never classified it as its own kink in my mind.
Hmm.
And maybe, and that's on me. That's, interestingly, that I never did that, but it is obviously a sensation, especially if you do it with things like feathers and things like that. It's a piece of texture kink too. And,
I think it can go a lot of different ways. Like, and yeah. I've definitely seen it done as like very much the focus of the moment. And also as kind of an accoutrement.
Fascinating. That is also one that didn't come up in our other discussions, though, because on the server, I will say that the overall winner of the thing you thought you'd never be into and now you really are is ABO and MPreg.
Yep, top of the list. Several people mentioned that. And most people said that Celestial Navigation, also by Saber, was their gateway drug for ABO, and that's what gentled them into the world. And it's interesting also because I've had a couple of conversations in the last little while about the history of ABO and the way the trope has shifted and changed. And I know we talked about it a little bit in the first episode on the pod, but I think there's probably a lot more we could dive into with that one. So if you'd like to see us do like a Let's Talk segment about ABO, let us know.
Yeah, because it's the one that definitely fascinates me the most academically of all of the tropes that are currently being, you know, highly published, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's something I really am fascinated with, how diversely it's written, not only in MCU fandom among the different ships, but even outside of it. ABO is the only tag I have followed regardless of fandom, just to see where things go in different ways. I've had to do a lot of Googling in some of the other fandoms. I'm like, who is this person? But I'm fascinated with how it changes. MPreg is one for me personally, I'll say. I never thought. I used to put it in my, like, excluded tags in my...
In your searches.
In my searches. And then I don't remember what shifted me, but with that particular kink, and with most kinks, I'll say, beta-ing for Marie is just a cornucopia of experiences. That girl writes some things. And she's very, very good about my nopes. When I nope out of something, she's totally cool about it. But I'll give just about anything she writes a try. And I'm sure that's where I first read an MPreg that was like, maybe I don't hate this.
I don't see, I feel like that's probably mine. I don't remember discovering pretty much any of the things that we talked about, but I'm also like relatively new to Slash because I only had het pairings before Stony. So like,
okay.
the last 5 years I've had slash pairings, but the whatever 10, 12 years before that, I had het chips and almost exclusively canon het chips. So it's like a very different relationship to fanon or to fandom.
Yeah.
So some of these ones that are like more prevalent in slash or like almost exclusively slash are things I would have had to have come across fairly recently, or at least had to have been like had any interest in fairly recently, but I really don't remember. But I feel like Mpreg was one that early on I would skip it. And then probably the gateway was like, I read something where it was glossed over, but then they had, it was a kid fic, you know, and I was like, oh, I like it when they have a baby. And like, it just kind of, but like, I will also say that, like, since we're talking about kinks and not tropes, Mpreg as a kink doesn't really do anything for me.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. There's times it does for me, but not always. Like you and I were talking about a fic off mic that was essentially a breeding kink fic. And that's one of the ones that is not a all the time for me, but I get a mood. And that's a tag I'll chase when I'm in a mood. But yeah, it's most of the, like, there's times I read non-con for sure, but I discovered non-con way before, like MCU. So yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the het slash ship pairing. I've read both of them in tandem for a really long time. And so, because I mean, before this, Destiel was one of my ones that I spent a lot of time reading. But yeah, even I don't think I read a Destiel Mpreg fic until I started reading Stony Mpreg. And then I went back and was like, oh yeah, I can now read this entire genre that I was skipping before.
I didn't have the guts to watch the rest of Supernatural until after. I was already a Stony shipper, so I got into Destiel real hard, but I don't know if I would have if I'd seen it before, because I just didn't. I think so much of my life was Spuffy, and like it was so incredibly formative for me that I was just always looking for that dynamic again.
That's fair. My first slash ship ever was were Mark and Roger from Rent, believe it or not.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, no, I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. Back when AOL message boards were how you wrote fanfic, when you did fan casting in Playbill. It's a whole thing. But that was my first one. So like, I've always had them in tandem.
Now I'm like wandering down like a mental train of like Lab OM and the Four Friends, and like they spend the whole first like half of the opera just being adorable together.
Yes.
And it's like, you know what?
It could work. Fic that got me into, the fic that I remember for that ship in particular involved being tied down with Mark's very famous scarf.
Lovely.
Yep. So I was a tender age when I read that, and there was no going back. So some of the other things that people said, just, you know, we can keep talking about ABO and Mpreg for a while, obviously. So let us know if you want us to keep doing that. There was several things for BDSM and obvious, and not surprisingly, I should say, held by our very own interviewees on this episode. Mm-hmm. Was brought up several times. I would say specifically for Stony BDSM, that was definitely my kind of gateway into it. It's a very gentle gateway. And even though you guys write the kink really hard in a lot of ways, I think the length helps.
Yeah, and I mean, we said it before, but the focus for us was always the relationship first more than the kinks. Like, it was driven by the kinks, but like what makes it a story is the relationship. So
yeah, and so I think it's a really helps. Good way into,
it's like a grounding.
Yeah, and then people mentioned things like pony play. Some people mentioned a few things like vampire stuff. Yeah. Or some, like, and when they say, somebody said kinky vampire stuff, I'm wondering if that's like a blood play.
Yeah. And probably, like, you know, I think the whole, like, we talked about it last episode, but like there's inherently sexual quality to vampires that I think you can either lean into that or not. So.
Yeah. And then somebody said non-con. So I think that's all really, I'm not surprised that non-con is something that somebody was like, absolutely not. And then they wandered into for some reason or another. You know, there's, you know, this question is still ongoing, by the way. If you have one that we haven't mentioned, we'd love to hear it. Yeah. Because it's possible, because especially because Farrah and I are evidently old and horny for a long time.
Nothing's new anymore. Nothing surprise us. New. Come on, people. Well, we learned about tickling kink today. So introduce us to something else we don't know about.
Yeah. We'd always love to hear from you, not only on kink and introductions, but just on anything that obviously brings you joy.
First of all, thank you guys so much for replying to our survey on the Discord asking which grammar lessons you wanted most. The winner was semicolons, periods, and sentence fragments. So that's the one I'm going to do next time. But before we dive into that, I wanted to make sure everyone has the foundations they need to follow along with the future lessons. So today we're going back to basics a bit, and we're going to do parts of speech. And then with those terms and understandings in our pocket, we're going to move on to the topics we posted about as we go forward. Okay, so there's some debate about how many parts of speech there actually are. And I should say, in this Grammar Mustelid corner, we are always focusing on English. This is an English podcast, and English is a language I'm most confident with. So while I may occasionally reference other languages to explain linguistic concepts, these rules may only apply to English. They may also apply to other languages. It really depends. If you write in other languages or speak other languages, hopefully some of the terms we discuss on the segment will help you find resources for those languages too. And if you find any cool tricks or things that are vastly different, let me know, because I love learning. So as I was saying, there's some debate. Most resources cite 8, but there's a possible 10 and even more than that, depending on how we break things down, especially as we get into the more complicated kinds of adjectives. I'm going to do 10 because I think that information is useful, even if there's arguments about how we really divide them up specifically. Some of these you will likely recognize, but some might actually be new to you. Parts of speech are also not defined by the word itself, but by how it's being used. So some words fall into many categories. If you think you've figured out which part of speech a specific word is, you might find that another word that is the same word or sounds exactly like that word actually is used in another category as well. So don't let that fool you. But some words only fall into one. So let's look at the categories. First step is noun. I think most people are comfortable with the concept of nouns. Nouns are people, places, things, and ideas. Proper nouns, like names, are written with a capital at the beginning. Some examples of nouns are dog, car, zucchini, book, and Steve. Next up, we have verbs, also one that is pretty commonly talked about. Verbs are action words. Verbs are conjugated to form different tenses, which we will talk about in a future episode. So a single verb often comes in many forms, but the base form that hasn't been conjugated is called the infinitive. And in English, we start the infinitive with the word to. Some examples are to drive, to eat, to dance, to write, and to talk. We also have a category of verbs called auxiliary verbs, which are helper verbs when forming more complex sentences. We'll talk about auxiliary verbs more in future grammar lessons. We'll also talk about conjugation and tenses in a later episode as well. So let me know if that's something that you're really interested in or if you have specific questions. Next up, we have adjectives. Adjectives are descriptive words that attach to a noun. Some examples are red, pretty, shiny, dark, large, and stinky. If you're not sure if a word is an adjective, try putting it in the clause, the blank ferret, and it'll help you figure it out. So you can say the red ferret, the pretty ferret, the shiny ferret, the dark ferret, the large ferret, and the stinky ferret. Adverbs. Adverbs are descriptive words that attach to verbs. We use them to describe how an action is being done. Some examples are quickly, angrily, roughly, menacingly, and seductively. You'll note that most adverbs end in ly, but not all of them, so don't let that fool you. If you're not sure if a word is an adverb, you can try adding it to the sentence, the ferret smiled blank, and it'll help you figure it out. The ferret smiled quickly, the ferret smiled angrily, the ferret smiled roughly, the ferret smiled menacingly, and the ferret smiled seductively. I'll note that for adjectives and adverbs, there are many more complicated subcategories, and those are ones we'll have to explore at a future date. But you might be surprised to find that there are a lot of words that fall into those categories that don't fit that sentence structure and aren't used quite the same way as these descriptive adjectives and descriptive adverbs. But we'll talk a little bit later about some of the kinds of different adjectives that are a bit off the beaten path. But again, that's something that we'll have to explore in more depth later.
And I want to interrupt here just to say that one of the things that I've heard from a lot of people who are trying to grow in their writing skills is that someone told them once to never use adverbs.
Yeah, it's a common writing advice.
And I want to call the bullshit on that, especially in fan fiction. So in academic writing, I never, or I should say very, very rarely use adverbs because they do often sound clunky and they do often make you feel over descriptive. Adjectives and adverbs are things that should be more like seasonings in a stew rather than the meat and potatoes. If you describe too many things too much, it gets overwhelming for readers. That's true. But to never use adverbs can also be very awkward. So don't feel like using an adverb means that no one is going to read your story. Take a breath and calm down.
I think this is born out of a pretty common like middle elementary school teaching thing that doesn't get expanded on later on. And actually, that's something I kind of wanted to talk about with this lesson, because as I continue on with the next couple things, you might find yourself drifting more and more out of what you were taught in school. And I think that's pretty common, that people are taught the very, very basic parts of speech. They're taught the very, very basic versions of those words. So you learn that an adverb is a word like quickly, and it isn't unless you go into grammar in more depth in the future, if you study editing or anything like that, or English like as a language in college, that you start to see that there's a lot more there. There's different kinds. There's some adverbs we would never consider adverbs, or some adjectives that, you know, your middle school teacher would not have called adjectives. So I think that kind of superficiality with understanding grammar is very common. And I'm hoping that what we're talking about now is a base upon which we're going to dive into things in more detail. So you can kind of move beyond that, you know, here's the subject, here's the verb, here's the object, nothing else, nothing more complicated. We're going to talk about adverbial phrases and all that kind of thing. But back to adverbs specifically, kids have a tendency when they're learning to write to do a couple of things that are very common. One is they tend to say, said so-and-so or so-and-so said after every single piece of dialogue, because kids are designed to see patterns and then copy them. And so teachers say, don't say said, because when you say said after every single piece of dialogue, it obviously feels repetitive. Here's some other words you could use instead of said. And then what turns into the rule is don't use said because it's boring. But that's not a valid rule when you've moved beyond your seven and you're learning to write. It's just a guideline to help break you out of the repetitiveness of said. And I think adverbs can be the same way, in that kids have a tendency to attach an adverb to every single verb because they want to add detail and they don't know how else to do that. And so teachers say, don't use so many adverbs. This, you know, it's getting purpley, or it feels repetitive, or, you know, not everything has to be quickly. And what's internalized is don't use adverbs. Adverbs are bad. But as you say, adverbs and adjectives are both spice that season a fic, and they can, or any piece of fiction, and they can add a lot of information, and they can be used well, and they can be used not well, and they can be used well and frequently and not well and sparsely. So it's one of those things where be cautious about rules that are that restrictive or that strict, because my guess is they came out of an elementary school teacher trying to teach an 8-year-old not to write like that.
Or they came out of a college professor who has a weird tic about something. Like, yeah. I mean, like, I had a professor that literally would never let me use the word very. The word very.
Weak, yeah.
And there's all these kind of things, and there's lots of, and then as we grow up, especially I'll speak for the American system that I've learned in and taught in, we are only ever teaching kids to write for a test or to write to get a really good grade in something, and we're not helping people explore language. Yeah. And really what one of the things that fandom does is allow all of us to explore language in a way that many of us were not given the opportunity to in school. And so some of those rules, like Ferret said, that are maybe even not even for elementary school, but also then they just kept going on, are for a very specific system that you don't have to worry about anymore. Like, I don't care what your SAT score was if you're writing porn. I really don't. And so, or really ever, I'll be honest. But you can play with these rules now. Remember what we said 5 or 6 episodes ago when Ferret first started teaching us all? We know the rules so that we can break them. Mm-hmm. And these kind of things are a big part of that. And I'll shut up now and give it back to the grammar muscle. But that was my little mini soapbox about things that make my heart hurt when I hear you all say that you're not allowed to use adverbs.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And I hope that that idea that I'm teaching you these rules so you can break them, or I'm teaching you these rules so you can understand how to use them as powerfully as possible, that is always going to be the driving motivation in these grammar lessons, and never to help you pass a test. If you need help passing a test, by all means, I will study with you. But the goal for this is to, first of all, give you that power of understanding, but also to share a little bit of why I love this so much and why I find human minds and language so fascinating. So I'm hoping some people step away with that. But on to pronouns. So our next category is pronouns. Pronouns are words that replace a noun. There's a set list of pronouns in English, so you can easily remember them all. He, she, they, we, it, I, and you. There's a few different forms of them, and the pronouns also each have a possessive form: his, her, hers, their, theirs, our, ours, its, mine, and your, yours. There's a lot to explore there, and we'll talk more about those in lessons on agreement and apostrophes, as well as possession. Next up, we have prepositions. Prepositions describe the relative locations of things. These are words like under, over, beside, among, against, and by. Next up, we have conjunctions. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? if you guys had Schoolhouse Rock, that was a great one. Conjunctions are joining words. They stick clauses together. There are 3 different kinds of conjunctions: coordinating conjunctions, subordinating conjunctions, and correlative conjunctions. You can remember the list of coordinating conjunctions with the acronym FANBOY: for, and, nor, but, or, and yet. Subordinating conjunctions are words like because, since, after, before, and which. We'll go into more detail in a later episode about why they're different and how we use them, because it all relates to different kinds of clauses that I want to really take the time to explore. Correlative conjunctions come in pairs, like either or, as, neither nor, and not only but also. You see this in phrases like I'd like either cake or cookies, I write neither angst nor fluff, Stucky is as good as Stony, and not only do I write thick, but I also host a podcast. Again, we'll talk more about conjunctions in the section on clauses, but that gives you a place to start. Also, go watch the Schoolhouse Rock. Next up, we have interjections. Interjections are extra words tossed in that add emotion like surprise, disgust, or excitement. These are words like ah, oh, good, yes, and alas. They're often followed by exclamation marks, or they're followed by a comma and then the rest of a clause. Some words are interjections and also other parts of speech. This is one where especially you're going to see words where you can't just classify it as an interjection. It's an interjection if it's been used as an interjection. For example, yes can be used as an interjection, but it also can be a noun, an adverb, or a verb. Interjections can be removed generally without affecting the grammatical integrity of the sentence. And so last up, we're going to talk about a specific type of adjective that I think is worth starting to build some understanding about, and that's determiners. So determiners are adjectives because they modify a noun, but in a slightly different way from words like shiny or red that you might have been told are, you know, the vast quantity of adjectives from before. Determiners tell us things like how many, which, or whose noun we have. So all cars, or those cars, or her car. There's a lot more we can say about determiners and types of determiners. Again, I'll have to explore it later, but I'm going to talk about one more specific type in our parts of speech, and that's articles. So then we have articles. So an article is a type of determiner and therefore a type of adjective. And it tells us which noun. The articles in English, there are only three, are a, an, and the. A is the indefinite article because it doesn't say specifically which definite noun we're talking about. It's a car. An is the form of a that we use before a vowel. So an apple, but it's essentially the same word. They just change for phonological reasons. There's no other grammatical reason to add the n. So see a vowel, add an n, that's it. And it's a vowel sound at the beginning of a word, not an actual vowel, which is why you see some dialectal difference in that, which I think is interesting. So people who pronounce the H at the beginning of a word will use a, so like, well, a historical document, whereas somebody who doesn't have that H at the beginning might say an historical document. And then our last article is the, which is called the definite article, because it tells us not just a car or any car, but the car. So it's a definite noun. We'll talk more about articles in our conversations about agreement as well. It's going to come up. The reason why I said all of these things are going to come up again is because I'm specifically giving you this lesson on parts of speech as a foundation for us to build on. So if any of these were super interesting or any of these were super confusing and you want to explore them more, that's a great thing to let me know so I know what to expand on. I will put a list in the show notes of the parts of speech that I've mentioned if you want to go read more about them. Hopefully these basic rundowns give you a starting point upon which we can build more knowledge. If you want to explore any of these topics in more depth, as I said, let me know in the Discord server and I'm willing to chat more if anything confused you, you want me to go slower or anything like that. That's a great thing to do on Discord. And additionally, if you want me to go into more depth on anything I've ever mentioned here, let me know that too, so I know what people most want to see in the future.
And now it's time for this episode's edition of Life of an Event, where we are going to update you on the Stocconi Summer Stockings extravaganza, 1 million exclamation points, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Since we last spoke, signups for the stockings have closed and fills have begun. This is incredibly exciting, but we did in this process come up and come across a bit of a hiccup that we didn't quite anticipate. And we had to come up with some really quick solutions for that. So Farah, could you explain what happened with the treats?
Yeah. So, and I think that this is like a great thing to think about and something that when you're designing rules, you need to think about is if people misinterpret the rules or read them too fast or forget something, can they then put themselves in a position that makes their sign up unclear in some way? Instead of accidentally doing the wrong thing, do they actually end up in a position of ambiguity? And that's what happened to us. So officially in our rules, the way that we laid it out was that if you did not want to receive treats, you had to either put treats in your do not wants or under the treats section of your sign up, say, I don't want treats. And we wanted it to be explicit like that. And so that was the way we described it in the sign up. Obviously the sign up information is extensive and there was a lot there for people to process. And what we found was we had a small collection at the end of the day of signups that either said nothing about treats or said something ambiguous like NA under the treat section or just left treats off entirely. And the result of that was we had a moment of doubt of, did these people mean to say, I do not want treats and that's why I've left it out? Or did they mean to say, treats are fine, but I have nothing specific I want to tell you about? So most people under the treats section said things like, oh, I love foxes, or, you know, I like pictures of your dogs, or I'm a gardener and I want pictures of flowers, or like, you know, send me your favorite recipes. But for the people who left it out entirely, and we did have at least one person who said, I don't want treats, and that was straight up and that was clear. But we were left with this small group of people who hadn't indicated either way. They had merely left it off. And we realized that absence of including it could mean a number of things. It could mean I don't want treats. It could mean I didn't understand what the treats were. It could mean I'm fine with any treats and I don't really care. or they could have just straight up missed that section when they were copy pasting, and they actually do want treats and they do want specific treats, and they just left it out by mistake. So that was a failing on our part for creating the opportunity for ambiguity there, and for not predicting that this was something we were going to need to either reiterate or be clearer about. So yeah, we were faced with the potential for including someone on the treats list who did not want treats, which wouldn't be fair to them, or leaving somebody off the treats list who did want treats, which would also be a shame.
So what we ended up doing was a little bit, I'll be honest, kind of messy and involved some trial and error. So at one point we thought that AO3 would let people edit things. Then we didn't realize that AO3 wouldn't let them do it. And then there was a lot of back and forth. And I want to specifically thank HT100,000s for this, because she was very patient with us in her sign up and helped us test drive some things. And so finally, what we kind of figured out is that we went ahead and privately contacted the people that were not explicit regarding treats. And through some AO3 magic, we're able to give them the opportunity to edit their stocking to be clear. But what we learned in particular is that because we were not very clear about a thing that is not like knowable immediately, we left accidental room for ambiguity. Mm-hmm. And this event too, and I should say this is a bit of a surprise, it is full of names we do not recognize.
Yeah, really exciting, but surprising too.
Super excited by that. But that also led us to believe that it's possible that some of the treat conversations were left off because people didn't really know what that was. Because it's not something that you would have encountered necessarily outside of an event like this. And as we've talked about before, Stuckoni as a ship has never had an event like this.
Yeah, and even with last year with fandom stalking not running, it's possible that, you know, basically anyone who's joined these fandom spaces within the last year and a half may have never seen a stalking event run at all anywhere.
And we knew that hypothetically, but we didn't really chase out what that could mean.
Yeah.
And so we had to address an issue pretty quickly. And in a truly excellent example of our teamwork. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, we worked really well with this, but this was also just the kind of thing that is necessary when you're running an event. We had to solve it quickly. And we talked through the issues, and Ferret, who understands the tech side of AO3 a whole lot better than I do, was able to ferret out some options. And we went with the one that we thought would be the clearest, the quickest, and cause the least amount of strain on our participants.
One of the flip sides of that was we actually, because we want to be transparent with you guys when you're listening to this, it meant we had to technically leave signups open later than we intended to and later than the date we had indicated, which meant that we did have people sign up after we had sort of said that signups were closed. And so we decided to make it a fuzzy ending for signups because, you know, more people is always great. And we still had an official cutoff where we are able to completely close it down. There will be no editing after that. There will be no adding signups after that. And that was kind of the trade-off that we had to make because we weren't clear enough in the first place. So if we were to run this again, and I think this is going to be a question that's going to stay open while we finish up the event and we'll come back and talk about this again, we're going to see how treats go. We're going to see if people even do them, if they engage with them, or if the platform for this, being different than how Phantom Stalking is run on Dreamwidth, if the platform just doesn't make the treat process easy, or if too many people misunderstand what they are or just don't want to engage with them because they find them confusing, whatever. We're going to have to see how treats go. And I think there's a question mark for if we were to run this again, if we would bother including treats at all. And that is entirely riding on whether it's something that people enjoy and it's something that ends up being worthwhile. And if it is worthwhile, we'll reevaluate how we tell people to indicate their interest in treats. And if it's not worthwhile, then we'll just cut it if we run this again. So next time on this episode, we're going to talk about, we'll be like in the fills period. So maybe we'll have some fills we can talk about and we can talk about, you know, claiming and how that's been going. But we're also going to talk about how we have made, we're going to be making stocking posts to go on our blog and what the purpose of that is and what our thought process was for how to do the workflow for that.
So just to remind you, if you're listening to this, if you did not have a stocking made, but you would like to fill a stocking, please do. There's ways to do that. We're going to be linking in the show notes to a kind of form that if you are not, if you do not have a stocking, we've asked you to fill out just so that we can make sure we can get a hold of you if something's wrong with your fill, which we've covered in past episodes talking about that. But please, there are 43 stockings up there, and each one has four to six prompts. That's a lot of options for some really excellent Stuccone content. Please remember there are no minimums. People like art. There can be mood boards are a part of this. Like there's lots and lots of options for creativity. And just get some more Stuccone content out there into the ether is the goal. And there's a lot of ways I'm scrolling through as I'm chatting with you. There is a lot of ways to make a whole lot of people happy very quickly in these lovely stockings. So go forth and
all right, folks, this is your last Trope Off update before it is over, before round one is over. Can you believe it? There is only one more face-off to go in Trope Off.
It feels like we've been doing this forever.
I mean, it's been, I keep meaning to look up the date when I posted the first one, but it's been like a year. I'm pretty sure it was August.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Yeah. So where are we? Well, Mutual Pining went up against ABO in the quarterfinals, they'd be called. And Mutual Pining won 55-45. So that's pretty close. And that kicked ABO down into the loser's bracket, which put it up against Soulmates. And our last battle was Soulmates against ABO, and Soulmates won 58-42.
Which surprised me at how handily that was.
That was pretty handily. And it was like, there was some contention in the discussions. There was some tension. Some people were adamantly one or the other. There was an interesting conversation about choice that was born out of that. Like some people prefer ABO when they have sort of people, the two people have a biological imperative to be attracted to each other, but yep, ultimately they choose to be together. Some people felt that the biology was actually like less nice than Soulmates, where it's like the universe had decided that two people based on their personality were meant to be together instead of just based on their bodies. So yeah, everyone's kind of got a different relationship to those two when it comes to choice and motivations for relationships and stuff like that. So I thought that was sort of an interesting side note.
Yeah, I love the conversation about choices, by the way. And so we'll definitely do that on the pod later.
There's a lot to explore there.
Yeah, the whole thing.
But yeah, Soulmates won, which takes ABO out of the running. And it is officially our third place winner. Congratulations, ABO. You get the bronze medal.
I accept on behalf of all ABO lovers.
Wonderful. Here's your medal and your garland or something.
Amazing.
And we have our final. It is either live right now as you listen to this, or it will be going live very, very shortly because I'm posting it as soon as I can after this episode goes up. So you will have a chance to vote for an entire week for the final. So go check out my Twitter. You don't need to follow me, but you do need a Twitter account to vote. And I unfortunately cannot take into account votes outside of Twitter. So that is your only way to vote, though feel free to comment in the Discord what you'd pick if you don't have a Twitter and you don't want to get one. You have a whole week. So even if you're listening to this a week from the release date of this episode, then you still might have a little bit of time. So I'll be closing it Sunday, August 9th, which is the day after my birthday. So for my birthday, let's see who wins Trope Off. And it will be Mutual Pining versus Soulmates. And I don't think anyone's going to be surprised what Flame is voting for.
I believe that I will be voting for Soulmates, Ferret. Thank you so much for asking this incredibly pertinent question.
Shocked.
Also because shocked. I firmly believe that mutual pining is part of the Soulmates trope, and therefore, or could be, and therefore Soulmates goes above. I also just think it's richer. I mean, I can opine about this. I just finished a massive mutual pining story, and I'm about to start posting a soulmate story, so I feel very comfortable being the arbiter of this choice for everyone. But I just want you to know that Soulmates wins.
I gotta say, I like, because I think the part of, like, his soulmates can go lots of different ways, but when it goes the mutual pining way, that's my favorite soulmates, and I love soulmates, but mutual pining can be in lots of different kinds of fics. And we could have mutual pining in ABO, we could have mutual pining in Soulmates, we could have mutual pining in none of those things, and we could have, I mean, we practically have mutual pining in canon, but I love when they're both hurting for each other, and they just want to be together, but they can't, Flame. The hurt comfort is too good.
I know, but what if I give you hurt comfort Soulmates?
I mean, give me hurt, comfort, mutual, pining, soulmates, ABO, and that's your full buffet of medal winners at this Trope Olympics. So
legitimately, the soulmates fic is the first three of those. The commissionee didn't want ABO, or it would have been.
So, yeah. So, additionally, because we now know that these are going to be our three medal winners, if you know of any fics that incorporate all three, please reply to my tweet or send them to me somehow, and I'll do a big feature for them as well.
So once again, that is any fics that combine mutual pining, soulmates, and ABO.
And if you write it just for this, that's totally 100% valid. It doesn't have to be one that already exists.
No, and we will make a really big deal.
We will make a really big deal out of it. So if you can write an all medal winner, then or find an all meta winner and share it, that would be amazing. I would love to see that. And I think we can confidently say that a lot of people are going to be really into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of statistics behind this being a popular fic. We'll even figure out how to give it a national anthem for Fandomlandia or something. So
that's where we are with Trope Off. Next time we talk, I will tell you who won. I will scream a lot. And I will also let you know how you can start submitting tropes for Trope Off round two.
Because it's happening.
And next up, we have our events forecast.
Hi, friends. This is Only More Love, your forecaster, back to tell you all about what's happening challenge-wise in a Marvel fandom near you. The usual note before I start with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast, linked and explained in the show notes of each episode over on podonthesuit.com. Now that that's out of the way, let's talk a little bit about some of the fun things that are going on in fandom right now and happening in the upcoming weeks and months. The Tiny Reverse Bang is still continuing. A new round starts every week for 6 weeks. The mods will be posting two of their art submissions for writers, podfickers, and vidders to take as inspiration and work their magic. The round will finally close with an amnesty week from August 29th to September 5th. And during that time, creators will be invited to post any remaining works they started for one of the art prompts but couldn't finish on time for their corresponding round. The art is delightful, and this event is really low stress, so have fun. We've reached the last stretch. The Steve Tony Games have exactly a week to go before a winning team will snatch the laurels and call themselves the ruling bunnies or weasels. More information can be found on the community's DreamWidth page, their Tumblr, or even Discord on their server. And for everyone who's not necessarily a creator, but still wishes to contribute to their chosen team, the mods have launched another way you can earn points, a comment bingo. 1 point will be awarded per comment on a work created by your team of choice, and 25 bonus points as well if they make a bingo on the board. Round one of the Cap IM bingo has ended. It's now that time of year again, where you go back to the comm and ask for more. Round two will, as usual, go on until January 31st. Ongoing until August 30th, with another round set to run from September 1st to 30th, is the Tony Stark Flash Bingo. For both months, the mods will be releasing a series of 9 cards containing 5 prompts each. You can choose to fill any square on the board of your choice, but are asked to please complete a board before you pick another one. Additional info and schedule, as well as minimum requirements, lowered from those of the main bingo, can be found on the blog. Spoiler alert, there are badges for the Flash Bingo too. Mods Kate and Huntress have announced the launch of their Stony Week 2020, with prompts already out on their Tumblr blog, and the actual week set to occur between August 23rd and August 29th. There are no minimum requirements, and all media are accepted. Have fun preparing! Stocking stuffing is now open for Flaret's Stacconi Summer Stockings. It will go on until September 25th, and creators are invited to keep around a max of 1,000 words or matching effort level for other media, so as to spread the love between all 43 of the stockings. Creators will stay anonymous until the end of the event, so plot and write and create in secret, friends. To learn all about how to fill a stocking once you've created for it, please check out Flaret's Guide to Filling a Stocking on Tumblr. A month remains to snatch up a card for the Stucky Bingo, as signups will only close on August 31st. The round itself goes on until May 31st, 2021, with master posts expected June 6th, 2021. Don't miss out. Also incoming is the Sinful Spider Week. If you happen to be a Starker shipper, or a Spidey shipper shipping Peter with either or all of the following: Tony, Bucky, Steve, Deadpool, Quentin Beck, Thor, or Loki, and certainly a plethora of other characters, as long as your ship is in keeping with the spirit of the event, aka problematic. The week will happen between August 23rd and 29th, and the prompts can be found on their blog. Other exciting news we've seen is the announcement and launch of an Omegaverse Big Bang called the Marvelously Naughty Bang. Signups will occur between August 22nd and October 10th for writers, and November 14th for artists, with claims happening on December 11th and posting over the months of March and April. Have fun plotting! And one last tentative announcement from Marie, who will be trying to finalize a new version of the Marvel Events Central spreadsheet for a more organic and easy browsing experience, and should post it soon. The Sun and Storm in Every Blossoming comment fest for Black MCU characters on Dreamwidth, the Cap IM comment bingo, Cap IM kink meme, and Lights on Park Avenue, as well as the Starker Festival's Starker Summer bingo, are still open for participant signups and or contributions, and the links to all of these are still in our show notes for the past episodes. The Cap IM Big Bang Discord chats are also happening on the same rotation every 2 weeks. This has been your events forecast. I'll see you next episode. Until then, be well and happy shipping.
That's a wrap on episode 12. We want to thank Ashes0909, Tisfin, and 27 Dragons for chatting with me/us, and Bane Me for the art. As always, we want to thank the podcast staff for all they do, and to all of you for listening. We're still amazed that you want to.
And thank you for your secrets about kinks as well, and for chatting about that topic with us on our Discord server, which there's a link so you can join us if you want to participate in our next conversation. We'll also be asking more Stony Secret questions in the future, so get ready to spill. But you can also let us know if there's a question you would like us to ask. Remember, this is your fandom podcast, and we want it to be the best it can be for you. So please keep commenting, chatting in the server, and sending us messages across all our social media.
And we will see you in episode 13. You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.